time for a break. Grab a coffee, get comfy, and catch up with old friends. Join us for an easy chat on all the biggest news stories of the day on ICRT Breakdown, a bilingual 2030 policy program brought to you in cooperation with the National Development Council.
Hello there, everybody. You're listening to ICRT's Breakdown. Come and join us while we discuss some very important topics of the day with experts and other interesting people and learn something new at the same time. Now, I would say that's a solid. And I'm one of your hosts. I'm Tim Berge. And joining me, as always, is the very special.
Hello, everyone. I'm Paz Bueno.
That is right. And we have another very special person joining us today.
That's right. Earlier you mentioned we'll be talking to an expert today. And
yes.
Joining us today is ETREE's own James Wong.
Hey, James.
Hi, everyone. This is James Wong from ETREE.
Welcome to the show. So James is the Vice President and General Director of the Industrial Technology Research Institute's Green Energy and Environment Research Laboratories. So this is ETREE's division that's devoted to developing, you know, sustainable energy, environment-focused technologies to propel Taiwan into a better future. So
a lot of very good stuff. And maybe to start off today, James, maybe you could tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
Okay. As you said, I'm the Vice President and the General Director of Green Energy and Environment Research Lab, which became a hot topic when you heard sustainability, net zero, green energies, and that's all related to our responsibility. 我是王涵公园院绿能与环境研究所所长，那我现在主要工作就是负责新能源、再生能源、节约能源以及环境永续相关的技术研发还有产业化。 那同时我们也是帮忙政府在绿能以及环境保育这边提供专业技术的智库来源。 My current responsibility actually include the technology development of green energy that include renewable energies and also energy efficiency improvement and also, say, circular economy.
Okay.
And at the other end, I'm also handling the environmental issues. So not just the energy issue, but everything or anything that would have an impact on environment. Basically, the hot topic now is the carbon dioxide emission. So how to reduce the impact of the greenhouse gas to environment, or how to, say, mitigate or adapt the impact of greenhouse gas impact to environment is also my responsibility.
I think, as you just said, this is a very hot topic these days. And so that means you're a very hot person too. So we're
right.
Very, very happy to have you with us here today.
Now, James, you mentioned earlier a lot of keywords, a lot of buzzwords. As Tim mentioned, this is a very hot topic recently.
Extremely hot, yes.
So for today's episode of Breakdown, we're diving into Taiwan's ambitious plan to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. 就是台湾的 net zero 2050的这个计划. So it's a plan that's set to transform the nation's environmental, economic, and social landscape and just make Taiwan a place that's known for its clean air and less pollution.
Okay, so maybe we can start with our very first question we have today, which is probably the most basic thing we need to start the conversation with, which is, what is net zero? What are the main steps Taiwan is taking to reach net zero? I mean, net zero is something we hear about every single day, and I think a lot of people still don't understand, what does that mean?
Yes.
And how do we achieve it? What does it mean when we achieve it?
Right, so the definition of net zero is the greenhouse gas emitted in all the activity of the human beings has to be subtracted by the greenhouse gas either used or buried. So the emission and the subtraction sum up with zero. So that's a net zero.
Okay, 就是我们排放出来的这些有害气体. So usually when people think about net zero, it's about carbon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
So you, but
net
you say
carbon,
greenhouse
like
gases.
That. Right, right.
近零排放事实上我们现在谈的都是气候变迁。 是因为气候变迁衍生的。那气候变迁就是现在因为有太多人类在经济活动生活上会产生温室气体的排放，这些气体造成气温上升，造成一连续的一些天然灾害产生。那这些温室气体现在谈的在法规上有管制，有七种气体。 二氧化碳是其中一个，只要有活动就会有排放，但是要把这七种气体的排放东西要把它收回来，把它消除掉。有排放，有删减，然后等于是零，这是 net zero，所以它不是等于二氧化碳而已。
So it's not just carbon that we are removing from the atmosphere.
Not just carbon.
Right.
It's the most, take the most part of the emission. That's zero. Carbon dioxide is the major contributor.
But it's not the only contributor.
Not the only one.
Right,
I'm
right.
only talking about net zero. When you're talking about net zero.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
That's very interesting.
When we're talking about carbon neutrality, that's all about carbon dioxide.
Oh, I see.
We learn something new every day.
That's right.
Okay, cool.
So Taiwan, I know that Taiwan started its journey to a cleaner future in 2021. So that was when current President Tsai Ing-wen announced a big goal on Earth Day, April 22. So she, put forward the plan of Taiwan producing net zero emissions by 2050.
Yes.
So how is Taiwan doing this? Or what are the strategies that Taiwan is implementing in order to achieve net zero 2050? 所以台湾是要怎么去进行这个计划?
Actually, in short, there are four, all these published data, there are four major transition strategies. 那有四个转型策略,就是能源转型、工业转型、生活形态转型跟社会转型。 So obviously, one is the energy transition. So all the energy supply has to go green or zero or low carbon content. And the second strategy is the industry strategy. The industry, the process of making goods or provide service need to go green. All the service, all the process need to improve the energy efficiency or use the material, use the resource with least or zero carbon content. And the third strategy is a lifestyle change. So again, while we are living, we are traveling, and we suggest, encourage people to use, or say, zero emission vehicle, or use the public transportation instead of personal or high, or say, emission vehicle. That's also part of the lifestyle change strategy. And the fourth one is the social transition stages that would include the social changes and the social that would include the training and job security and the governance. And all these has to be put together to aim the same direction. We need to go green. We need to use, we need to produce least carbon dioxide.
That is all very interesting, and there's a lot for us to digest right there. But why don't we continue on going forward? And so what are some of the energy changes, industry updates, better living styles, and community efforts which will work together for Taiwan achieving its net zero goals?
Right. One is the, I'll say, most obvious one is the produce low carbon or zero carbon energy is obviously one of the major goal in Taiwan to switching from a fossil fuel. And at the same time, you may see a lot of all the industry, all the company claiming that their product are either very low carbon footprint, or they use 100% renewable energy in their plant. 转换成为真正要推动净零，我自己转换是有五个面向，净零第一个是从供应端，就要是供应零碳或低碳的能源，最主要的。另外一个就是从需求端，需求端是说我们每一个人的需求，包含服务或产品，那这个产品跟服务呢，是要是低碳或零碳的，这需求端。 那从供应端到需求端中间有一个制造端，这个制造过程也要让它是最少的碳排或零碳排，所以这里面有很多新的制造技术。另外还有两个面向，一个是环境端，所以你的碳排这些要怎么把它给捕捉下来，把它给消化掉，把它给用掉。 或者是储存起来不排放到大气里面，这里很多事情就在环境端，所以最后一个面向我把它叫做 trade 跟 policy， 任何的经济活动都需要钱，那这个钱的资金的投放的位置或资金要流到哪里去，是要引导到这个资金要去放款或者贷款给投入做这些近邻的公司或近邻的产业或近邻的消费者，那政府也必须要把供应端、制造端、需求端，甚至环境端里面所需要相关的法规，所以我看的就是这五个面向是在推动净零的时候都必须要去改变的部分，或者是新增加以前没有做的事情。
Okay, so it seems like there's a lot to consider when it comes to achieving the net zero 2050 goals. As you've mentioned, there's kind of like an intricate connection between, as you mentioned, like the five different sides of how Taiwan is tackling the problem, with the core of it being carbon capture and then to keep the emissions, because it's not just carbon, but essentially capturing these gas emissions and then to keep them away from the environment.
Right.
And then you also mentioned that it's not the easiest. So you've already mentioned some of the challenges, but can you go ahead and detail them a little bit more clearly? So what are the challenges and opportunities that Taiwan faces in using first more renewable energy? And what are the challenges that Taiwan has to implement these kinds of technologies?
One of the obvious challenges is that we have very limited space in Taiwan. We face a competition of the land use, all the interference of this new machine or new wind farm or new PV. What's the impact to the inhabitant in the area? It could be a farmer, it could be a fisherman. So that's a big challenge here. So putting more renewable energy is a challenging topic, particularly in a land space and the area very close to the inhabitant nearby. So not just engineering issue, technical issue, but also the social issue had to be resolved. 就是要净零的话，首先你要有低碳或零碳的能源。那目前最普遍的就是所谓再生能源。全世界再生能源最主要的就是太阳光电跟风力发电。那这两样在台湾很挑战的地方，是因为台湾的土地面积有限，那相对人口也集中，所以当我们去建置太阳光电或风力发电的时候，可以使用的土地面积不多，而且常常会在这个土地上会跟既有居住的农民或渔民会有紧密的关联，这是我们必须要去克服的问题。
I have a quick follow-up question, and I understand Taiwan is small, there's not a lot of room to do different things, but being a long-term resident here in Taiwan, it seems at times that maybe more could be done in a very simple way of just more conservation. And I see many examples every day where people could do more to reduce the amount of electricity they use, maybe reduce the number of trips they make with their car and stuff like that. And so do you think maybe more should just be done from a very simple point of view like that get people to conserve and maybe use energy more wisely?
Yeah, 像我们平民百姓要怎么去帮助台湾？
Right, this is a very good point. I mean, if you are talking to general public, what most of people don't care about, no business about the renewable energy, but they can contribute a lot. For example, you can reduce the electricity use in your house. That's a lot. And you can change your device to high, let's say, energy efficiency, a great refrigerator or air conditioner. There's a lot of things you can do. But one of the points I'd like to mention is you have to know how many electricity, how energy consume, and also how many carbon dioxide you emit in your daily activity. I put that very important is that if you don't realize how many carbon dioxide you emit in your daily activity, then you really don't know how aware to reduce the carbon emission from your daily activity. For example, carbon footprint.
Yeah. So what a regular person could do is just to kind of assess, look at their own everyday life and see how much energy you or your household is spending, and then kind of just making very small changes. But even like all of these small changes in a collective effort can really show some significant results. 所以就是我们平常日常生活可以做的一些小小的动作，其实累积起来也是可以有大大的帮助。 Are there any ways that, like, how can one person learn about their own carbon footprint? Like, 如果我自己不会查我自己的 carbon footprint, 我要怎么去知道?
You haven't checked that yet, Paz?
I don't know what my carbon footprint is.
I don't know either, but what I always try to do is keep my electrical bill, try to get it smaller and smaller each time, which is not always that easy, but I try to find ways, you know, maybe don't run the AC as much and maybe don't run the heater in the winter and things like that. Mm. So I think we can all do little things to try and cut it. But yeah, maybe, James, you can give us some better ideas on how we can calculate maybe how we're misusing energy.
That's the point. That's exactly the point. You don't have to calculate that. You can see from your electricity bill. You always want to reduce the electricity bill. To see it, you can aware of it, and then you have an opportunity to change your behavior. So electricity bill is already, there is a bill. You can see that. Obviously, there are much more you can do. But again, most people I talk do not know that there is a carbon footprint published in the website and even in your daily activity. Have you taken a high-speed rail in Taiwan?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. 其实我在很多外面场合对一般人讲，我在研讨会讲，请问你们知不知道高铁票后面有写每公里排放多少二氧化碳吗？
Oh, wait, so HSR tickets, but I've never... Oh, I should probably pay more attention to my HSR ticket.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I only use the app, you know, so I never see any paper ticket. I thought I'm being a good guy by not having a paper ticket.
Okay, there's a... If you buy a paper ticket, you know, the orange one, the small one there, right?
Right.
On the back of the ticket, there is a footprint.
I never knew that before.
Wow, I see. Okay. Essentially, to learn your own carbon footprint is... Step number one is pay attention.
Right. So look at your bill, see how much you're paying, and try and keep it as low as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then even see, because I imagine, because like all of Taiwan is kind of, we're all working towards this unified goal of net zero 2050. So Taiwan does already, like many institutes, provide resources for you to learn about your carbon footprint. 所以其实台湾有很多方法，如果你有去注意的话，其实你可以去学会你自己本身有在排放出多少的碳，然后从这边可以知道说怎么可以慢慢的，就是用一些小小的动作来把它减少。
So exactly. So there is a lot of things we can do. I mean, when we are talking to general public, and this is most my favorite one to talk about instead of the
technicalities,
or all these machinery, whatever. Actually, this is my favorite part. Do you know if you drive a car, if you own a car, do you know how many carbon dioxide emit?
Tim, you own a car.
They're all pointing at me right now because they know I have a car. So tell me the bad news.
Okay, I share with you my data.
Okay.
Drive a RAV4 hybrid, Toyota RAV4 hybrid. So the official data indicate that RAV4 hybrid emit 100.1 gram carbon dioxide per kilometer. Wow.
Per kilometer?
Per kilometer.
Whoa.
That's the published data.
Okay.
So now you have 32 and 100.1.
Right.
And it's all published.
Yeah. So really all we need to do is just pay more attention. I actually know that Taiwan has a website that it's sponsored, I think, by the Ministry of Transportation, where people can research like the safety levels of specific or the more popular car brands that are sold here in Taiwan. And I do know that they actually do show, for example, like what is the average emission of the car as well. So like when you're purchasing the cars, of course, you want a safe car, but also a car that can cut down on your own personal carbon footprint.
I'm catching the drift there, Paz, and I'll check it out for my car. But just in my defense, I'll have you both know that I always use the economy mode on my vehicle. So to try to get the best miles per, I'm American, so I say miles per gallon, you know, the most kilometers per liter, whatever it is, or most liters per kilometer. I can't figure that one out. But I try to get the best mileage possible.
Exactly. So the first step is to show the data to the individual. That's the first step. before we can do anything, before we want to change.
I will admit that I've never really paid attention, but because I ride a Gogoro, and like the Gogoro app does tell you like, hey, this is how much carbon you
really?
Saved. Yeah.
Okay.
Because
start adding it up every day now, okay?
I'm definitely going to start
We'll get a
track.
Monthly inventory. We can compare notes then.
Right.
Okay, so we should all go home and check out that information. And I think it's important to remember that, you know, Paz, you're just saying, okay, like we're just one person. What can we do? But if we all save a little, there's 23 million of us here in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
So that little bit by 23 million turns into a lot of little bits.
Yeah.
And so it does add up. Well, I think we've all learned a lot today.
Yes.
I think maybe Paz and I have learned too much today. we're going to have a lot to discuss. And maybe Paz is going to be giving me some very nasty looks when she figures out how much carbon I'm wasting compared to her. And so I need to change some of my habits, I think. I think, James, I think you've given us some good information for doing that and making our lives, you know, all of us in our everyday life be more conserving of energy and help Taiwan achieve net zero.
2050.
Yes, right.
In 2050, right.
Yes.
And maybe even sooner if we can. But now we get to the fun part of the conversation. And I hope, James, I hope you had time to prepare something, but we have now what we call our pet peeve or cat's meow. Some language, some English language term or expression that we really like or maybe really don't like. And I had some ideas this time for my pet peeve or my cat's meow. And I had some things like tip of the iceberg. I was thinking about conservation stuff and we're all worried about icebergs melting. And then we also have like NIMBY. I'm sure, you know, not in my backyard.
Oh,
have you heard that expression
yeah, right.
before?
Yeah.
You know, like often, like James was just mentioning that, like with the PV or with like the wind turbines.
Yeah, right.
People don't want, they want them, but not in their backyard.
Oh,
but I also thought of another thing, and this is kind of like my cat's meow. I really like this term. And this is to greenwash. And this
okay.
is something you
right.
see a lot today. Maybe a company talks about, oh, how much they're doing to try to save energy. And maybe it's really not that much, but they make it sound like a lot. And they're kind of like greenwashing. It's sort of like
right.
the idea of whitewashing. They're trying to make the bad things they do not look so bad, but they're trying to make them look green to be very environmental. And so I think none of us greenwash, but let's really try to do positive things to be cutting our carbon footprints and saving energy.
Right.
Paz, what's maybe your
well,
term for this time?
Mine is a word that James actually mentioned before, and it's carbon footprint.
Oh.
Because I think
you
going,
were thinking ahead. Wow.
I think going into like learning to be more environmentally aware, the first step really is to understand what is your or your household carbon footprint. And even though I've never calculated mine, it is something that, you know, my motive for today's conversation is I wanted to ask you, like, how can we learn about our carbon footprint? And now that I know that information, I am so eager to go and find out. And I'm going to bet, Tim, that mine is lower than yours.
I'm afraid now. James, you've really started a battle here, but I think it's a good battle for all of us to have. Thank you very much.
Exactly. This is a good battle to start with.
So, James, you know, do you have like a cat's meow or a pet peeve that you want to share with us?
Oh, right.
Maybe like a keyword that you want to share related to the topic.
Exactly. Something we should all learn about.
What? Actually, the word that stimulate most actually is a carbon footprint.
Hmm.
Well, I think that's fine. Both you and Paz have the same word today,
right.
Carbon
not
footprint.
Many people realize that that means something, and not people even know it's already the number, the data is already there.
Yeah.
Just don't know that. And once I know the number, there's a lot of things I can do.
Yes.
Without being forced by the other.
Yeah. Being self-aware is the most important thing.
Right. So I just want to promote this idea as much as I can do to most of the people. The government or some of the company had done a lot. They are volunteer and they are daily enough to publish their carbon footprint in their product or in their service. There are nearly 400-500 list of carbon footprint in the EPA website. You can check that. The room you stay emit how many carbon footprint, the credit card you use. Well, there's a lot of things that actually...
My credit card uses carbon footprint?
It's made out of plastic, Tim.
Oh, okay. I didn't think of it that way before. You're right.
Yes, one of the company, bank, published, released their data. The credit card emit, per car, emit 900 gram carbon dioxide.
Wow.
Another good reason to go digital.
Mm, yes, yes. We are in the future now. So
I believe Paz and I are both heading in that direction. So yes. That's good.
Right. So how many carbon dioxide when you drink a Coca-Cola?
Yes.
or maybe Paz is a Zhenzhu Nai Cha.
Maybe one better not to know that if you want a Coca-Cola.
So thank you so much, James, for joining us today and telling us not just the, you know, kind of like the technological or the engineering aspect of what net zero is, but also sharing, I think most importantly, because, you know, it's something that everyone can use. What are some ways that we can be more aware of how much energy that we're using? So thank you so much for joining us.
That's right. That was James Wong from ETREE joining us this time to get us all working on reducing our carbon footprint. And at the same time, I want to thank everybody for joining us for another episode of ICRT's Breakdown at NDC Podcast. Thank you for joining us again. And so thank you, James.
Thank you very much for having me here. And let's work together to reduce the carbon footprint.
Thank you, Paz.
Thank you. Goodbye. Thank you, James. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Breaking the ice, breaking the mold, breaking down the news. You've been listening to ICRT Breakdown, a bilingual 2030 policy program brought to you in association with the National Development Council.